This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This is Issues 2018. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Ed Pavey, director of the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center. Welcome to Issues 2018. Ed, nice to have you with us.
Good morning, Steve.
It's my understanding that you have decided to retire. What went into your decision about that?
Well, several factors. My brother keeps asking me when you're going to retire. He's a little bit older than myself, and looking at where we're at with the training center at presently and my age, and come June will be 49 years in this profession, I think collectively it's a good time to step aside and let someone else take the reins.
Have you enjoyed running the center? I mean, you've been out there for quite a while.
That's a good question, and yes is the answer. I've had great staff over the years, and they've made me look good, and for that, I appreciate that.
How many years have you been at the Law Enforcement Training Center now?
It's going to be 49 years.
49 at the center?
Law Enforcement.
The Law Enforcement Center, then.
At the Law Enforcement Center, 28 and a half years.
28 and a half, okay. I just love numbers. tell us about your career in law enforcement. Before you took that training center job, 28 and a half years ago?
Well, I started at a young age, at 17, as a full-time dispatcher under Sheriff Vern Miller at Sedgwick County Sheriff's Office, and progressed through the ranks and retired as a division commander 20 and a half years later, and then joined the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center.
So what was the year then that you started at the center?
1989.
And that is located, for those who don't know, you're pretty close to Yoder, are you not?
We're about a mile west and a mile south of Yoder. We call it KU's Yoder campus.
Was that at one time, was that an Air Force base or something?
It was a Naval Air Station with a mission of training pilots.
Naval Air Station.
That's correct.
In the middle of Kansas.
Back in World War II and the Korean conflict.
Makes perfect sense, right?
It is.
Okay. Well, why did you, let's take you back even a little further than that. Why did you decide on a career in law enforcement, Ed?
When I was at Heights High School, which, if you're aware, is probably a notch or two above West High School.
Oh, no. No.
Vern Miller came to Heights High School to have a career day, and 15 to 20 of us were in a room, and he explained about law enforcement, and it piqued my interest, and I ended up joining a cadet program that he was establishing for the first time, and it took off from there.
What year was that then?
That was 1969.
Is that the year you graduated?
That's 70 is when I graduated.
70, okay. And you've already mentioned, I think, one person who's influenced your career a little bit, and that'd be Vern Miller. Are there some other people who have influenced your career along the way, Ed?
I think each of the three sheriffs that I worked with over that 20 and a half years, Vern Miller, Johnny Darr, Mike Hill, all brought things to the table that I admired about them as leaders. And then in the 1970s, I met an individual here in Wichita by the name of Larry Welch, who worked for the FBI and became acquainted with Larry. And He went on to become the director at the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center, and then shortly thereafter became the director of the Kansas Bureau of Investigation. And Larry and I became close friends, and I really, truly admired how he conducted himself and what he taught me about life and taught me also about law enforcement.
Anything specific about it? I mean, just the way that they interact with people?
Just their character and their behavior and how they conduct themselves around the public and staff.
Okay. Some law enforcement agencies are having difficulty in recruiting and retaining officers. I'm sure you've heard of this. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. Well, I think we're in a different generation of applicants today. I think today's applicant may be looking for a little more flexibility in the positions in terms of weekends off, maybe evenings off, not having to work holidays. They may be looking at it from risk versus reward. Do they get paid quite a bit for the risks that they're undertaking? And I think you're fully aware of, in today's environment, the law enforcement officer is under high scrutiny, being second-guessed in a lot of cases about their decisions. So, you know, in today's market, maybe it's not a job that everybody wants to mm-hmm. apply for.
We're going to let you elaborate on that in a little bit about the people being second-guessed and whatnot. What would you say to a person considering a career in law enforcement? I was going to say a young person, but even somebody who's in their 30s and 40s, I suppose, could start out, right?
We get them at all ages at the training center, okay. Especially the ones that may be coming out of the military later in life and apply to be an officer. But it's a great occupation. It's a rewarding occupation if you like working with people and helping people and solving problems. And it's a very humbling position, and I think we could use a lot more people applying that would like to serve and protect.
How many people do you actually train in a year out the center there?
The numbers are pretty stable over the years. It's about 400 officers annually in basic training programs, and then another 10,000 in continuing ed. The 10,000 primarily is the veteran officers who are working out on the streets, detectives, patrol officers. They have to have 40 hours of continuing ed annually to maintain their law license. And so we get a lot of enrollments from that.
What goes into that training then?
It's from A to Z. It could be a week-long school on accident investigation in the advanced areas. It could be a crime scene school. Next week, we're conducting a three-day fair and impartial policing train the trainer school. So, I mean, they go from A to Z on the topics.
Where do your people come from that go to the center?
They come from all over the state. We are the central headquarters for all law enforcement training in Kansas. To give you an example, here in Sedgwick County, Valley Center, Mays, Park City, Derby, Hayesville, Rose Hill, Andover, all those communities send their officers to us at KLETC, as well as the other agencies around the state. There's 431 police agencies in Kansas, and so we have a big client group to take care of.
So you're actually a state agency.
We are a part of the University of Kansas, which is a state agency.
Sure.
We're funded by the legislature, and we're considered a state agency.
Sure, one of the more pleasant aspects of your job is dealing with those folks in the legislature from time to time.
Quite frequently.
How do you interact with them? They get a bad rap too. I mean, they just like we think they're all doofuses or something.
There's only so much money to go around, and they've got all the different things that people feel are important: public safety, schools, the courts. It goes on from that point.
Do you have a budget process every year then?
We have a budget process through the university. Our funding comes from the legislature. Matter of fact, I was in front of the legislature in 2016, and they granted us a new funding fee of $1.25 on every license tag. So every time you renew your license tag, $1.25 comes to our KLETC fund.
We ask that you spend it wisely.
We do.
Do you think you do, or do you have too many lunches on the boss?
No, we're a conservative organization.
Run it clean and lean, huh?
That's right.
Okay. Give us a little short sketch of the training agenda. What do people go through when they show up there?
When a new officer arrives at KLETC, they live in a dormitory from Sunday night through Friday evening. They get to go home on the weekends, and The course itself is 3 months in length, 14 weeks, and the topics cover from A to Z. It could be accident investigation, it could be law, driver training, the use of firearms, the use of force, verbal skills, how to defuse, de-escalate situations. Again, it goes from A to Z, and it takes 3 months of basic training.
What are the obligations? Let's say somebody, you've got to recruit from Wichita PD or Sedgwick County Sheriff. Are they required to come to your center or not?
I wear two hats at KLETC. Okay. One is the director of KLETC. The other is the director of police training for the state of Kansas. In that capacity, I can license or certify the academies of certain jurisdictions if there's a need. Wichita and the police department and the sheriff have their own academies. Their own officers go to those academies, and we do the same with the Highway Patrol at Salina, Kansas City, Topeka, Lawrence, and the Johnson County metro area has an academy that we license.
Because you've also got all these smaller towns, and many of them do have a police officer or two.
50%, or just a little over 50% of the agencies in Kansas, of those 431 agencies, have five or fewer officers.
Wow.
Employed in their jurisdictions.
Okay. You're listening to Issues 2018 on the Intercom radio stations. Our guest is Ed Pavey, director of the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center. Again, is welcoming retirement here. Not too much further in the future, right?
That's correct.
And okay. Officer-involved shootings seem to be a more common occurrence recently than in the past. Is there a trend there, Ed?
You know, we've been talking about that. We don't think there's a trend that is manifesting. We do think that there's more coverage of it by the media organizations with a 24-hour news cycle every day and with some of the issues that have been surfacing around the country with high-profile shootings. The KBI here in Kansas tries to track that, how many shootings there are. I was just talking to the director of the KBI yesterday. There is no formal national database that tracks officer-involved shootings, but I did some research. The Washington Post has been tracking fatal officer-involved shootings.
Yeah, okay.
And over the last 3 years, they're all between 950 and 1,000 fatal shootings. So they're pretty stable in their numbers. There doesn't seem to be an increase or a decrease, but I just think there's more awareness of it nowadays.
You say between 900 and 1,000 a year over the past...
Between 950 and 1,000 each year for the last 3 years.
And it's an excellent point for those folks who don't understand media and the way it works is, like you say, we do have a 24-hour news cycle now and a lot of media out there. And sometimes it seems like an event is being overcovered, but it's because so many people are covering the same story, right?
And there's more awareness level then from that media attention to it.
So is there anything behind all this that we should know about? Or is it the fact that people have more guns or anything like that?
If we really knew the answer to that, you and I'd both be famous right now. But, but I tell you, the conversation in the law enforcement circles is that we need to get back to compliance. If individuals would comply with the officer's directives or commands, and not be reaching in their pockets or running or making quick movements, that might go a long ways in helping reduce some of these shootings that we've heard about.
Yeah, but how do you get that message out? I mean,
education.
That's the message that you and I got from our mom and dad, probably.
Education, yeah. Of our young people in the schools, maybe.
Maybe the schools is
a good start.
Yeah. At least part of civic class or something like that, maybe a week-long. That's a good idea. Good idea. How important, Ed, is the use of body cams by police officers?
In today's environment, we're finding that it's really a very important benefit for both the community and for the officers involved. It sometimes gets to a point where it captures the who said what and did what at what point in time. But I want to give an analogy of a basketball referee making a call on the floor, and they go back and there's a question whether the referee made the right call, and they zoom in on four different camera angles, and they still can't determine whether the referee made the right call or whether the call should be overturned. And body cameras are the same way. They will capture the moment that it occurred, but it may not provide all the answers that everyone's looking for.
Do you think it's good to have them?
I think it's good to have body cameras. I think the benefit outweighs the disadvantages.
Tanya, I've been told by the sheriff or the police chief that a lot of times you will bring in someone who's involved in a conflict, and they're asking to see the body cam of what happened, and they change their minds when they see what's there. Sometimes it gives them more truth than they knew about then.
And that's true, but there's benefit and there's disadvantages to everything that we do in life, and I think this is a benefit that most people would agree that a lot of times it can solve the answers to the questions.
Kansas lawmakers have relaxed the laws for carrying firearms. You got any thoughts on that, Ed?
You know, I don't share my personal opinion about some things. I will tell you that the legislators enact the law or create the law. It's up to law enforcement to uphold the law. And I do tell my friends outside of law enforcement that may be carrying weapons to be sure to train with them and be sure to understand the weapon, what its function is, and be sure to understand when you can use it in what type of situation. I mean, that's critical.
I'm just thinking whether as a law enforcement officer, it makes your job more difficult or just different. You know what I'm saying?
There's always been guns out on the streets, and the law enforcement officers are aware of that. It's just now that everyone appears to be carrying
you
one.
But basically, you have to think that whoever you stop on a traffic stop, there could be a gun.
There's potentially a gun involved.
Yeah. Law enforcement, there's no safety anywhere, right?
And I'll tell you another thing. We haven't seen a great amount of situations that have arisen since the carry concealed. I know in law enforcement there was a skepticism whether we were going to see a lot of accidental shootings and a lot of people brandishing guns, and I think we've had some instances that have been reported, but it hasn't been overwhelming.
No. Today's cops face people who have mental challenges more and more often. Seems like maybe the mental institutions have opened their doors and let everybody out sometimes. I'm being facetious, but you have any thoughts on it? Do you train for that now, Ed?
We train that in basic training. It's called special populations, and we train crisis intervention team training, which teaches de-escalation skills, verbal, and we also visit with people that have suffered from mental illness to get their perspective. But we not only deal with that topic of mental illness, we deal with autism, we deal with the elderly. There's a whole special population that law enforcement typically comes in contact with.
Yeah, and drugs. Some of these people are just high as a kite, I guess.
I think Sheriff Easter and others will tell you that the crime being committed here in Sedgwick County and elsewhere around the state and the country, a lot of it spurs from people's drug habits.
As a matter of fact, he told me that on this, where you're sitting, about 3 or 4 weeks ago.
Okay.
These very same things. These drugs have a lot to do with
crime. That's right. They need
crime.
Their next fix, and they need money to do it, and burglaries and thefts is the way to do it.
In your training curriculum, Ed, do you have courses that address racial profiling?
We do. We've been heavily involved in that since about 2010, and we've adopted a curriculum model called Fair and Impartial Policing. Dr. Lori Friedel is one of the nation's leading experts in racial profiling and bias policing through her research. Matter of fact, her crew will be at KLETC next week for another one of our trainers to keep plenty of instructors available in the state to keep this training concept going. And it talks about implicit and explicit biases, that everyone has biases, whether you know it or not. It may be as a result of the environment that you grew up in, but sometimes they'll manifest themselves subconsciously. And your perceptions, your behavior will be reflective of those biases. And we try to get you to recognize those and how to contain them.
It's a good point, because most folks don't stop and think, well, how do I think about people who are different from me?
That's
most
right.
People won't stop even for 10 seconds and think about that.
They're stereotyping. And, you know, what would your typical response be if you seen an individual pushing a shopping basket around downtown Wichita on a sidewalk?
Yeah.
What your first...
Homeless, drug addict, something like that,
that's
right?
Your stereotyped perception, and you may have a bias towards people of that type.
Okay. We all do, I guess. Share some thoughts. You already talked about this a little bit, but overall media coverage of crime and law enforcement. I mean, you've been at this, as you say, almost 50 years locally. Let's talk about locally.
Locally, I think, in my perspective, the media has been pretty fair in the coverage of things that went on around here. They've called out law enforcement at times when we needed to be given some scrutiny, but they're the first ones there to help us when we need help. And I look back at your career from the day that you started at KWBB, I think is back in the late 60s, mm-hmm. early 70s.
1970.
That's correct. And you've been a professional doing this for years. And I know guys like Dan Dillon, who were with KFDI, and Ken Vandruff and others, and they've always been fair and somewhat balanced.
The interesting thing is that at the local level, we see you guys and we know you. And you know us.
That's right.
We're people to each other, as opposed to national coverage, something like that.
Yeah, I hate to say this now, but I've always respected you.
You can say it if you want to. Nobody else tells me that. Hey, listen, just a quick sidebar. 1970, started in June of 1970 at KWBB. One of the first stories I covered was a little disturbance at a place called Heights High School. And I saw Vern Miller up there. You may have been there.
I was there.
Were you?
I was there.
We didn't know it, but we would collide again. Isn't that amazing, though? You know, here we are 48 years later.
It is.
And we're talking. Okay. Any dangerous situations in your career that came up that you've stuck out in your mind? Most guys will come up with something.
I've been involved in a few during the time I was on the streets in the 70s. They're memories, distant memories now.
It's an interesting thing that if you're in a sheriff's patrol, and I think about highway patrol as well, and you're covering a big geographic area, boy, I bet sometimes at night you're out there all by yourself. There's nobody within 20 miles of you, right?
Well, back when I was on the streets, I worked second detail, which was the 3 to 11 shift, and on some nights we only had four officers, deputies in the entire county.
Wow.
So typically you would make a call by yourself, and if backup was on its way, it might take 15 or 20 minutes to get it to you.
Yeah. As you face retirement or welcome it, do you have any regrets about your career?
No regrets whatsoever. I think I made the right choice that career choice back when I was a youngster, and it's been a great ride.
Hey, what are you most proud of?
My wife of 42 years coming next Monday, and my three daughters, their great husbands, and nine grandkids, and the career that I've had throughout the 49 years.
I was kind of wondering. I knew you'd say that, but I thought it was kind of more about the career, most proud of in your career. The way you have passed on your influence from these other guys, you think?
I hope that I've been able to mentor a few individuals, both at KLETC and maybe back in my Sedgwick County Sheriff Department years. But that's what you always hope for.
Okay. What are you going to do with your time when you retire? My wife won't let me retire. Because she knows I'll drive her crazy.
Well, my wife has said the same thing about to kind of stay out of her way and out of her routine, and I've said that's fine. I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. I'm going to spend a little more time watching some of the grandkids' activities that may have missed over the years and maybe do a little more fishing.
I think I've seen you at a couple of those activities.
You and I have been to some of the basketball games.
Basketball games and so forth.
Yes.
Well, it's been an interesting run for you, I'm sure. And it's like you get a kind of a ringside seat on our community over the years and what's happened here in Sedgwick County and in Wichita. But also, if you've got a ringside seat on the entire state now, you got these people coming in. And are the young people who you see really that much different from our generation?
No.
We like to think that they're not as smart as us and so forth, but is there a big, big difference, you think?
I just think they have maybe a little different perspective on the work environment. Again, flexibility, weekends off, or maybe the salary ought to be a little higher. And I can just tell you from the law enforcement career, it may not pay the best, but it's pretty steady work.
Yeah, well, there's always a need for a good law enforcement officer, but on behalf of all of our listeners and folks who've known you over the years, it's been a pleasure working with you, Ed. And it sounds a little bit like an obituary today, but you know, when people retire, it's always have a little bit of flavor. Like, we will see you around somewhere, I'm hoping.
You'll see me more of the granddaughter's basketball games that we frequent, and And I'll still be around. I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, so you think fishing? What kind of fishing do you like to do?
I do a little bit of channel cat and bass fishing at the lake.
At the lake. And that's about all you can.
That's all you can do.
Channel cat and bass. And there's a carp now and then.
There's occasional carp that will bite.
What's your favorite? I'm killing a little time here.
Okay.
What's your favorite bait?
My favorite bait, just typical old worms. It works out great.
You dig worms, huh? That takes me back to my childhood. Wow. All right, well, listen, again, we wish you all the best in your retirement, and we appreciate your service to our community and our state. And thank you so much for spending some time with me. I really appreciate it, sir.
Well, thank you, Steve, for taking the time to share this with us.
Our guest is Ed Pavey, director of the Kansas Law Enforcement Training Center, for a few more days. And that's all for this edition of Issues 2018. We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game, like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way, with stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.